Mr. Sato, you have...
Actually, I'll start.
Okay. And you have a half hour.
Correct.
Right? And we'll start the clock. Okay. Can you tell me when, right now?
Okay. Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the board, and staff on the advisory team. I'm Harvey Packard, lead staff person on the prosecution team. You introduced the team this morning, but I'd like to go in a little bit more, in a little more depth. Mr. Sato, you've met. To my right is Sora Marks. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in Natural Resources Management, which included courses in environmental engineering, microbiology, chemistry, and physics, among others. She has 19 years experience regulating design, site suitability, and operations of on-site wastewater systems, has taught classes in the basics of wastewater treatment, applied math, and industrial waste pretreatment. She has 5 years' experience working at a municipal wastewater facility, which included clarification and biological processes similar to those which take place in on-site facilities. Matt Thompson holds a bachelor's degree in environmental engineering from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, with an emphasis on water pollution control and wastewater treatment. He completed intensive coursework in chemistry, bacteriology, fluid mechanics, groundwater hydraulics, groundwater measurements, water and wastewater treatment design, and water law and policy. He's a registered civil engineer in the state of California and has served on staff for 5.5 years. Howard Kolb, though he's not here today, has also participated with the prosecution team. He has a Master of Science degree in public health engineering, is also a registered civil engineer in California, and has over 20 years' experience working with on-site systems, and has co-authored a number of reports and papers on septic systems and the fate of bacteria in the environment. This afternoon, on behalf of the prosecution team, I want to let you know that we've worked long and hard on devising an appropriate enforcement strategy to address the discharge prohibition issues in the Los Osos Prohibition Zone. Bringing a case against 45 different parties is procedurally challenging, as we've witnessed this morning, and it's complex even when the underlying issues are relatively straightforward. As you heard this morning, one writ petition had already been filed even before final action had been taken by the Water Board. Let me make a few observations. We understand that there's a lot of history with the use of septic systems in the Prohibition Zone. We understand there's a lot of frustration on the part of citizens in Los Osos, and especially those that are being asked or who are here today to receive cease and desist orders. We get that some of the citizens subject to these proposed orders feel there's been a lack of due process. We understand it's a potential for division in the community as to what the appropriate action should be to end septic system discharges. We understand that there's even dischargers or community members here today who would be cooperative or would otherwise support a community-wide response to the septic system problem, and they're being treated the same as those who are recalcitrant or don't even care. We get that some of the community members who have already paid into an assessment for a community sewer proposed by the CSD feel that they've done everything practically possible to end their reliance on septic tanks, and feel that the proposed CDOs against them personally is unnecessary and unfair. In short, as we saw this morning, we understand there's a lot of misunderstanding. We believe there's been a great deal of miscommunication about the underlying facts of and our motives in bringing these proposed cease and desist orders to you today. But what we'd like to say, and what is paramount to us, is that the water quality in the Prohibition Zone has not improved since 1988, when the Prohibition took effect. A concrete solution for addressing those water quality impacts is promised once again through the Blakeslee process, but it's still potentially elusive. We acknowledge that that new process has been put into place by AB 27, and we want that process to succeed. At the same time, we understand that the new process is in its nascent stages and that there are a number of things that need to occur in the future to bring the promise of AB 27-1 into a concrete, functioning community wastewater collection and treatment system that addresses the illegal discharges. Despite the local agencies to date may have failed the citizens of Los Osos in developing a reasonable alternative to the use of septic systems in the prohibition zone, the law makes clear that each user and owner of an on-site system is ultimately responsible for compliance with the law and is liable for the consequence of any noncompliance. We come to you this afternoon with a straightforward approach to addressing the prohibition zone issue. The proposed cease and desist order is not the most stringent requirement that we could place on those dischargers. However, under the circumstances, we believe it to be a fair and reasonable approach to putting a community on the road to achieving compliance with the basin plan prohibition. As we heard this morning, concurrently with preparing these enforcement actions, your staff also developed a settlement approach for achieving the same goals sought by the cease and desist orders. The opportunity to settle was offered to every potential CDO recipient. As you heard this morning, those terms were fair and reasonable. Those who have agreed to settle did so without certainty that the board would adopt the proposed order, or that the hearings would even come to completion. We ask that you proceed to the completion of this process in fairness to those who have settled. As to the dischargers who have determined not to settle on the terms offered, we are prepared to move forward on their individual cease and desist orders. We believe that the evidence is undisputed that their use of a septic tank system within the prohibition zone violates the discharge prohibition, and that the proposed remedy provided by the orders is fully justified. To the extent that we could clarify aspects of the proposed CDOs based on comments from the dischargers, we did so by submitting a revised CDO template on December 1st. At the end of these proceedings, we ask that you issue the proposed CDOs to each of the respondents. Matt Thompson will now make a short presentation, after which the prosecution's team presentation will be concluded.
Thank you, Harvey. Good afternoon, Chairman Young and board members. I'm Matt Thompson with the prosecution team. I prepared the technical and scientific arguments for the prosecution team contained in your written materials. I'm not going to rehash those arguments at this point, but I am prepared to defend them should they be challenged during the individual hearings. The prosecution team trusts that you have already heard our case through our written submittals. We understand the issues before you are simply one, whether the persons named in the proposed cease and desist orders are discharging or threatening to discharge in violation of the basin plan prohibition, and two, whether the requirements of the proposed cease and desist order are the appropriate remedies for these violations. I believe the answers to these questions should already be clear. So I'm simply going to take a few minutes to highlight some important facts, briefly describe Assembly Bill 2701, and then summarize the proposed cease and desist orders for you. Here are some of the important facts of this case. First, multiple studies and a wealth of monitoring data demonstrate that continued septic system discharges in the densely developed areas of Los Osos Baywood Park have degraded and continue to degrade water quality. The Los Osos Baywood Park Prohibition Zone was adopted in 1983 and remains in effect. Second, local government has not complied with the Los Osos Baywood Park discharge prohibition for over 20 years. Next, multiple enforcement actions, including cease and desist orders, time schedule orders, and administrative civil liability, have not compelled local government to solve the problem thus far. Next, as dischargers, individuals are responsible for their septic system discharges. Lastly, there is no dispute that the persons named in the proposed cease and desist orders are discharging from their septic systems and violating the prohibition. Here's a map of the prohibition zone with the location of the designated parties' properties depicted by red dots. You can see that all 45 properties are located within the prohibition zone. If necessary, I'm prepared to show you later where each individual designated party is located. Considering these facts, we believe the proposed cease and desist orders are the appropriate next step to achieve compliance. Before I describe the cease and desist orders for you, it is important to consider recent special legislation, Assembly Bill 2701, authored by local Assemblyman Sam Blakesley. The governor has signed this important legislation into law, and it becomes effective on the first of the new year. The full text of this legislation is included with our legal rebuttal memo. In short, Assembly Bill 2701 authorizes the County of San Luis Obispo to take over the Community Wastewater Project. It contemplates the county will prepare and submit a proposed assessment vote to Los Osos property owners to pay for the facilities. According to county staff, this will happen in 2007. This benefit assessment is essential for the county to have security that the community will pay for the project. From our perspective, a positive benefit assessment vote would also demonstrate that the community is committed to eliminating its illegal septic system discharges. The legislation contemplates that after approval of the benefit assessment, the county then will consider several relevant factors, such as the availability of sufficient financing, before it finally commits to constructing and then temporarily operating the community wastewater system. This benefit assessment and due diligence process will take some time, and it will affect the ability of the designated parties to meet our originally proposed compliance deadline of January 1st, 2010. Considering this legislation and written submittals by designated parties, we are proposing the following requirements in the cease and desist orders. These CDOs I will describe are found in your written materials as an attachment to our legal rebuttals memo. First, the proposed CDO is clear that as long as the process contemplated by AB 2701 is moving forward, there is no specific date to cease discharging from the septic systems. There is no requirement in the CDO that the community wastewater system be completed by any particular date. Contrary to what some designated parties may say, the CDO is not intended to force the community to adopt the Tri-W site as for the location of its wastewater treatment plant. Now, while this Assembly Bill 2701 process is promising, completion of the community wastewater system is not guaranteed by this legislation. For example, if the benefits assessment does not happen, the project will not proceed. So, if the AB 2701 process does not move forward, the cease and desist order has an alternative to comply with the basin plan prohibition. This alternative is a firm date to end septic system discharges. This discharge cessation date becomes effective if either the County of San Luis Obispo fails to approve the benefits assessment by January 1st, 2008, or if during the project there is a material cessation of work. Let us be clear, though, that to cease the discharge does not mean to vacate the property. There are many ways to cease a septic system discharge. Here's how this will work. If the benefits assessment fails by January 1st, 2008, the discharger would be required to cease its septic system discharge by January 1st, 2011. If there is not a community wastewater system in the works by 2008, we believe this additional 3 years to fully end the illegal septic system discharge is sufficient. If the benefit assessment is approved, but then later there is a material cessation of the project, then the discharger must cease its septic system discharge by January 1st, 2011, or within 2 years after receiving notice of material cessation from us, whichever is later. As for this material cessation standard, we believe it appropriate that you, the board, as opposed to staff, make that determination. So if there were a work stoppage, we would come back to you in a public meeting such as this and ask that you make a determination as to whether it constitutes a material cessation. And of course, if the community wastewater project continues to completion, and assuming the discharger connects into the system, then the discharger's violation of the basin plan prohibition is resolved. We believe these requirements are very reasonable and ask that you adopt the cease and desist order for those dischargers who do not reach a settlement agreement with the prosecution team. Thank you.
A quick question. I'll stop the clock for you. So this does mean that if there was a material cessation on in December of 2010, then there would be an additional 2 years beyond that date to December of 2012 to complete
the project. It is a whichever is later
okay,
statement,
so
yes.
The whichever later could be beyond 2011.
Correct.
All right. Go ahead.
That's it, actually. I do have one addition. We propose to add the same language regarding the county's inspection form to the cease and desist order. It's not in there currently.
Question?
No. Yes.
Actually, I think Gary was first. Go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead.
Could you go over the the compliance consequences. Just remind us of that.
Sure.
And in particular, the issue of mandatory minimum penalties, a ceiling, a floor. There's been a lot of talk about that, and I'd like you to address it. Thanks.
Yeah, at the end of the proposed CDO template, it's exhibit, I think, C in the legal rebuttal. It says, failure to comply with the provisions of this order may subject the discharger to further enforcement action, including assessment of civil liability under Section 13268 or 13350 of the Water Code, and referral to the Attorney General for injunctive relief and civil or criminal liability. Now, it would be quite likely that if we were to pursue penalties, we would first pursue penalties under Water Code Section 13350. And there are provisions in 13350 for penalties of up to $5,000 per day. And there is some relatively new language in 13350 that calls for unless there is a consideration of certain factors that justify it, it calls for a minimum penalty of $500 per day.
That's a minimum penalty if the board decides to act. There's no mandatory penalty with this violation.
Right, and so following up on that, if the cessation date came, would the penalty phase come back before the board for a hearing? Is this automatic or?
It's not automatic. Staff could bring a penalty hearing before the board, but it's not automatic or mandatory.
I should ask John about that. Is that something that is at the discretion of the board, or is it what's, or does it have to be in the language of CDOs?
Violation of a CDO or alleged violation of CDO does not automatically result in imposition of liability. That such a circumstance can be brought into play if the board proceeded under 13308, which is a specific statute that allows the board to pre-establish liabilities in the event that there is an anticipated breach of requirements. But that is not the standard approach. Violation of the cease and desist order. The violation of the cease and desist order, in order to result in liability, would have to be preceded by the issuance of a complaint alleging violations of the cease and desist order, together with a recommendation for assessment of liability. That would then come on before the board in a hearing, and the board would consider the factors in 13350 and determine what amount of liability, if any, would be appropriate for the alleged violations of the cease and desist.
All right, thank you. And go over again the mandatory minimum. You said it was 500, but not.
I'm not sure that there is a mandatory minimum in this situation. There is a mandatory minimum of $500 where there has been violation of a cleanup and abatement order. However, in this case, the allegation would be that there had been violation of a cease and desist order, in which case I'm not aware that there is a $500 minimum liability. I think this concept came into the settlement agreement because the settlement agreement involves enforcement as a cleanup and abatement order. And therefore, under ordinary circumstances there would be for violation of terms of the of the settlement agreement treated as a cleanup and abatement order, there would be the $500 minimum liability.
That is correct. I think Mr. Thompson simply misspoke when he talked about the application of a minimum penalty for the violation of a cease and desist order.
Anything else, Mr. Packard? You have 16 minutes left.
Not at this time.
Okay. Let's write this down. Okay. All right. Now we have cross-examination by designated parties of any of the prosecution team's witnesses. Why don't we just start with Mr. Murphy, since you're an easy target. We'll start with the CSD, and then and this doesn't come off of their time, does it? No, it doesn't come off their time. Okay. And then we'll just proceed. Whoever wants to cross-examine these witnesses, can you just raise your hand as we go down the line. Okay, Mr. Murphy, why don't you begin?
I'd just like to ask a couple questions of Mr. Thompson, if I may. You had mentioned that it's undisputed that these individuals are discharging into the groundwater. Have you visited any of the specific sites to ensure that the septic systems are actually in use and are actually discharging into the groundwater?
No. I have visited the prohibition zone. I'm familiar with the area.
Thank you. But with regard to any of the, I believe there's somewhere south of now 10 defendants today, any of those 10 defendants, there's no actual inspection to ensure that they are actually using their septic system rather than having already adopted some kind of other alternative system on their property?
Yeah, we don't have waste discharge requirements for those individual systems, and I don't have inspection authority like I do with other facilities we operate, so I haven't inspected them, no.
Okay, thank you. with regard to Assembly Bill 2701, I know that the most recent copy of the CDO has been amended in light of AB 2701. At what point did your staff determine that AB 2701 would have an impact on these orders?
I'm sorry, I don't recall.
Okay. And I only ask that I guess I'm trying to figure out that whether if these hearings had gone forward as anticipated on November 2nd, whether they would have taken AB 2701 into account or whether we might be dealing with some sort of order that would be in conflict with AB 2701. But if you don't know, then I apologize. I believe that's the last question I have, Mr. Chairman.
Is that a question?
I apologize for asking.
I don't know.
He doesn't know. I'm finished. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Ms. McPherson, I'll take you next, and then any other designated parties after you.
Okay. Thank you. Gail McPherson for Lori McComb. I wanted to ask if there, again, this is probably a duplicative of, but I wanted to ask whether they're aware of any data that was collected on Lori McComb's property or other properties in Los Osos.
The Los Osos Community Services District has a network of about 26 monitoring wells that represent groundwater monitoring throughout town. That groundwater data, we contend, is representative of the area bounded by that monitoring well network. We do not have data collected from immediately beneath Lori McComb's property, no.
Okay, and so the 26 monitoring wells, that series of monitoring wells, you're using that to represent over 5,000 properties? Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
The monitoring data that's provided by the Community Services District represents shallow groundwater throughout Los Osos, including some of the areas outside the prohibition zone.
Okay, can you tell me what the difference is? What's the net difference in the contaminant load reaching the groundwater between a functioning and a non-functioning septic tank?
I think I need a little clarification. What do you mean by functioning?
Well, one of the CDO's terms is that we need to make sure we have functioning septic tanks. And what I'm asking is if there's a difference in the contaminant load to that groundwater between a functioning and a non-functioning septic tank. And, do you have information on the net difference?
The nitrate loading from a functioning versus a non-functioning septic system would be roughly the same, but there's another reason for the interim compliance requirement to pump out and make sure the system's operating properly, and that's that there are areas of town where there's very shallow groundwater, and we know that leach fields and such might be failing, and there are other threats to water quality than just nitrate.
So the CDO pumping inspection program would not have a significant positive effect on the water quality before the community sewer is built. Is that a correct characterization of what you said?
No.
Sorry, then can you answer, will it have a significant positive effect on the water quality before the community sewer is built?
In the sense that you are correcting leach fields and such that might be failing, that are threatening surface water quality, or that are discharging directly into groundwater, yes, there will be improvement to water quality.
The CDOs don't include an inspection of the leach field. I don't know if you are aware of that, but it requires the septic tanks to be pumped and inspected. So I don't know that that is an issue for the surface water. But we were asking about the water that's in that you're using with the 27 monitoring wells that is characterized as polluting from this address. Isn't the basic problem septic tank density? I think I read that in the staff report. Not whether or not a septic tank is functioning or not, but the density.
Based on my read of the data, I believe that the factor that is causing the greatest factor causing groundwater contamination is septic system density. That's why we are requiring elimination of the septic system discharges.
And we aren't opposing that, but we are wondering, the conclusion in that report states that the requirement of the CDOs are reasonable interim measures to reduce the water quality effects of the ongoing illegal septic system discharges. So that isn't really true, since it's a factor of density and not a factor of whether a septic tank is operating correctly or not. Is that right?
Could you restate your question,
please?
Yeah,
it's a quote from the staff report. The conclusion, the requirements of the CDO are reasonable interim measures to reduce the water quality effects of the ongoing illegal septic system discharges. Based on what we've just said, it's a factor of density and not a factor of whether or not a septic tank is operating properly. And so that statement isn't really true. Septic tanks whether they're pumped and inspected once in the next 3 years before a treatment plant comes about.
Let him answer the question first.
Okay, I was trying to.
If you have a follow-up question,
okay.
You can
I wasn't
do that.
Sure if he got it. Okay.
That way we can keep things kind of in order.
Sure.
I said that I believe the primary factor affecting groundwater quality is septic system density. There are other factors, separation to groundwater, that sort of thing. But as I said, there are other problems with failing septic systems in Los Osos, such as surfacing septic tank effluent. And we believe the interim compliance requirement will solve those problems and therefore will improve water quality.
Do you have records on the surfacing septic tanks? I did research and could not find anything recent where there are septic tanks that are surfacing, have surface water problems.
Are you asking a question or
yes.
Testifying?
No, I'm asking him if... I'm sorry, I apologize for that. Do you have records from the county or from any source that there is surfacing water from septic tank failed leach fields?
The county is the lead agency for regulation of septic systems there and in the county. My understanding is that they are trying to collect information on failing septic systems. That was the purpose of the form that we discussed earlier. I do not have, we do have indications from the county of some septic system failures, but I would not characterize that as a complete record of all septic system failures.
In the staff report, it says you're going to reduce water quality effects. And can you tell me reduce by how much?
Could you please tell me which page you're referring to for context?
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. As a matter of fact, my client didn't get that that mailing. It's the staff report. And that's the settlement agreement order.
You said it will reduce water quality effects. Could you please be a little more specific?
It had to do with the requirements of the CDO are reasonable and interim measures to reduce the water quality effects of the ongoing illegal septic system discharges. That's the quote. And so I'm asking... Reduce the water quality effects. What does that mean, reduce by how much?
I think we'll agree that interim measures discussed in the CDO are not going to have the same effect as ceasing discharge. There's no doubt that ceasing discharge is the real effect we're looking for. The interim measures are just interim in an effort to improve what water quality can be improved until the sewer system's in place.
But I think her question is trying to pinpoint whether you have a predetermined amount of reduction in pollution to anticipated.
We have not quantified that, no.
Okay.
So my question is, so it hasn't been quantified as a benefit, and I think everyone believes that pumping septic tanks is a good idea, but the conclusion is that it doesn't really improve groundwater quality. Is that correct? If density is the issue.
Well, you will be removing pollutants from the basin. So there will be some very minor reduction in pollutant loading to groundwater.
You mean the couple hundred gallons of water that's being pumped out of a septic tank by a resident between now and 2011? Is that what you mean?
Well, it's usually between 1,000 and 1,500 gallons, but yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the Yates and Williams study?
The Yates and what?
I believe it's, is it Williams, Yates, the Yates studies? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, it's Yates and Williams?
Off the top of my head, no. I may have seen it in the past, but unless it's in front of me, I'm sorry.
Do you have the date of that study?
I do for later, but I just wanted to ask from a hydrogeologic perspective. It was noted in the Yates and Williams study that there was going to be no significant changes in the upper aquifer based on the proposed cease and desist order, and essentially they were saying that it was going to take...
Are you going to follow this with a question?
Okay, I'll follow
if
you with a question.
If you are, then I'll let you make a statement, but...
Well, I'll object to the statement.
True?
It's not
is
based
it,
upon
is
any
it,
fact.
How about this? Is it true that the water quality improvements will take a few decades, even with a sewer in place for improvement?
Can I go ahead and answer that?
Did she say permits? Yeah, please, go ahead.
The various hydrologic studies that have been done to date indicate that the water quality improvements would begin immediately, but the shallow groundwater would not be restored to drinkable quality for a few decades, estimated at 4 decades.
Can you tell me kind of the how many milligrams per liter reduction in the nitrogen level, say, in 20 years?
No, I wouldn't attempt to guess at that right now.
Okay, thank you. So the interim plan really offers no significant effect on improving water quality?
I think Matt's already answered that several times over.
He has to bring the objection.
Is that an answer? Is that?
I think I answered previously that there would be some limited improvement in water quality with the interim compliance requirement.
But that's not quantified.
Right. Correct.
There were some questions about progressive enforcement. Do you have any other choices in how you might enforce upon the people of Los Osos and have the same result, pumping septic tanks and hooking up to a sewer, which are the two requirements? Can you describe what progressive enforcement actions might be available other than a CDO?
I believe that the only method that the board has available to actually establish a date for hooking up to a sewer would be through a 13-08 time schedule order or a cease and desist order or a cleanup or abatement order.
There's not an option to send a notice of a notice to comply or some sort of more informal. I had read that there's
not with an enforceable date in it. No.
I saw that the date wasn't going to be enforced in the presentation. It said that in any case you would not have to stop pumping. I mean, stop discharging at 2011. And can you clarify that for me? Because it looks to me like there's an enforceable date there. And yet in your presentation, you made it seem as though people would not have to stop discharging or move out of their houses.
Provided the process envisioned in the Blakeslee bill is proceeding, there is no date in the CDO. If that process is not proceeding, then there is an enforceable date.
Did you meet in the process of putting out the dates with the county and ascertain when the 2008... whatever that date is for the 218 vote, if that was realistic?
You know, I think that we did talk with the county. My understanding is that the county intends to have their benefits assessment ready for approval by the Board of Supervisors as of December 2007, so that is why we picked the January 1st, 2008 time frame.
Okay. I think that's all I have right now.
Okay. Okay. Are there any other designated parties that wish to ask cross-examination questions of the prosecution team witnesses? Go ahead and then just tell us your name for the record.
My name is 1034.
1034. Okay.
And my first question is,
Is your mic on?
Thank you. The prosecution states that there have been miscommunications between the county and the Regional Water Board. Could you elaborate on that? That's okay.
I believe I said something along the lines of, we understand and believe there may have been miscommunication and misunderstanding between the community and the prosecution staff about why we're bringing these cases before the board today. I don't believe I mentioned the county.
Okay. And you also state that local government has failed. Has this agency lived up to all their promises and their obligations?
Sustained. Mr. Rockte?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, good.
This is regarding Tim Rockte. Mm-hmm. Tim Rockte, R-O-C-H-T-E. This is just regarding the form, the septic tank inspection form. At the closing of the presentation, Mr. Packard referenced, I believe, the action your board took on recommending using the county form. And maybe it's too late, but I wanted to get a plug in for using the form that your staff brought up. Or is it too late?
Well, this is the time to ask questions of the prosecution team witnesses.
Can you use the form that you guys developed instead of the county form?
We could.
I would just say, great job, because they listened. When it first came up, they said they wanted a form. I contacted Michael and Matt and said, you guys need to have your own form, because I've gone to the septic tank people in Los Osos, and they said, we don't know what form they want to use. You know, so we said, okay, how about the form that you guys use? And they said, that's okay. It does the things that we ask for. And we did. I did that in good faith, knowing that you hadn't ruled on, you know, this interim compliance business. But I just want to say thanks to the staff. If you can you, and if you can, great. Because I think it'll be less costly to the people out in Los Osos, because Al's and the others charge $85 to process the county form. It's multiple pages. Mm-hmm. This one looks a little more streamlined.
Well, that's an interesting bit of information about the form.
I work for the state.
They may not charge for using our form, but they may charge for using the county form. Is that what you're getting at?
That's what my understanding is from talking to them. If you could, you know, or do whatever it takes to not add more charges. You know, $85, I could buy a pair of shoes for that.
Right. Yeah. What? Yeah.
Okay. You know, it happened so fast before, I didn't get a chance to say it. So thanks for your forecast.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Mr. Dugan.
Dave Dugan, yeah. Representing Cynthia Coleman.
And you're representing Cynthia Coleman?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Actually, I'm asking for procedural information first. That Cynthia Coleman has indicated to me during the lunch period that she may be wanting to sign on to this
settlement.
Okay. But she wishes to talk that over with me, and also to view the downstream from the video, which it's not live TV, and so she wasn't able to actually see what's going on here. And I'm going to get a copy tonight. Will I have opportunity to do cross-examination if it turns out that she feels that she can't do the settlement after reviewing the video? Will I have time to do this cross-examination tomorrow if I can get an extension till tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
This cross-examination is going to take
place. The problem is,
now, if she needs time to think about this, you know, and we're not getting to her CDO until later, obviously.
Would that be a good time to ask?
Not till tomorrow. If she talks to the prosecution team before the presentation of her CDO and wants to agree to settle, that's fine. But you should avail yourself of the opportunity now to do the cross-examination.
And we're going to do that.
Okay.
In the end, on the website for the State Water Board, I believe for the Regional Board, there's enforcement policies. So I think Lisa Shecker spoke towards that earlier. And there's the first section. Let's go back over to here. This is session, she talked about progressive enforcement. And I want to go back to 1983.
Well, Mr. Dugan, let me just stop you for a second.
I'm going to ask a question.
Okay. As long as you're going to end up with a question, that's fine.
I'm going to ask a question.
We don't want to hear a statement.
Okay. Back in 1983 when...
Go ahead, Mr. Dugan.
Back in 1983, when A313 was a resolution passed by this board, has staff considered the fact that in during this enforcement the way it is now, that it has not been fair because of the fact that these CDOs probably should have been brought forward years ago? In fact, around 1988-89, have you taken into consideration that the fairness of bringing these CDOs now is not fair because those CDOs were not brought forward at that previous time?
Well, I think you can say that this enforcement is somewhat progressive because in 1988 we did issue, if that's the right year exactly, but we did issue cease and desist orders to the county.
And when the county failed to forward a wastewater treatment facilities for, I would say, another 10 years, at any time did the Regional Water Quality Control Board consider issuing CDOs to individuals as they are doing now?
I believe there are staff reports from 1994 or 2004 and maybe previous where we did explain to the board the various options for enforcement, including individual enforcement.
Prior to the LOCSD being created, at any time did this, the subject of CDOs to individuals ever come up with the staff of the Regional Water Control Board?
Since we're talking about prior to 1998, it's a bit of a stretch of my memory, but I believe there have been other staff reports prior to formation of the CSD that have addressed the potential of all enforcement options available at the time.
His specific question is, did staff consider bringing individual enforcement actions against homeowners, if I'm not mistaken? That's what he's looking at. That's what his question is.
Prior to formation of the CSD?
Yes.
I don't remember when exactly, but it was, I believe it was considered with other enforcement options. And while the government, while the representative government was moving forward with the project, it was not considered the most effective option.
And were these options voiced in a public forum, or were they just staff reports?
If they were in the staff report, that is a public forum. It would be part of our agendized public hearing. But as I said, I can't remember the specific time, so I really can't be specific about it.
In your own enforcement policy, I believe this is Section F, environmental justice.
And it talks about the state and regional boards shall promote enforcement of all health and environmental statutes within their jurisdiction in a manner that ensures the fair treatment of all people of all races, cultures, and income levels, including minority populations and low-income population in the state. In considering these CDOs, did you consider the minority population or the low-income the residents of Los Osos?
We haven't made any specific findings on any of those, either of those subjects.
You are aware that State Water Resource Control Board is participating in and fully supports the efforts of the California Environmental Protection Agency Work Group on environmental justice, aren't you?
What was the question?
Are you aware that the State Water Resource Control Board is participating fully supporting the efforts of the California Environmental Protection Agency Working Group on environmental justice? It's right out of your own enforcement policy.
I'm sure I'm not up to date on everything the State Water Board's doing with respect to.
Can you tell me how many minorities do reside in Los Osos?
No.
Can you tell me how many low-income households there are in Los Osos?
I couldn't, even if you gave me a definition of low income.
Well, low income is basically is a standard set by both the federal and probably the state. But do you know, even can venture to guess what those are? Have you taken that into consideration? Excuse me. Have you taken that into consideration?
Not with respect to these cease and desist orders, no.
And but you are aware that what I have just talked to you about is in your enforcement policy, aren't you? Are you not?
Yes.
And you have not considered these factors in the issuing of the CDOs?
The response of the prosecution team is that we are not under the impression that there is any environmental justice issues related to the issuance of these CDOs.
Well, on more than one occasion, I'm sure there's people that have asked staff what they can do to bring themselves into compliance. And I was one of the persons who has only been an interested party, but now representing Cynthia Coleman. I asked what it would take to bring themselves into compliance, and I remember asking Sorrel Marks this question in our first conversation. Do you remember that conversation, Sorrel Marks?
You'll have to be a bit more specific. We've had numerous conversations.
Oh, the first time we met, which was months ago.
Please be more specific.
I asked you specifically what it would take to come into compliance to avoid these CDOs. Do you remember that conversation?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Do you remember your response?
Yes.
What was your response?
The discharges of wastewater in the community need to be eliminated.
And you did not mention or bring up the subject of the prior project to be restarted?
Oh, we discussed that as well. Okay. I think you're conversation was, how is that practical? And I indicated that I believed the most practical way of doing that was the project that was permitted at that time.
I remember the gist of the conversation, and I'm asking if you remember the same way I do. But when I asked, asking her if she remembers.
If you're asking a question, by all means ask questions, but don't testify.
I am. As I remember our conversation, and I hope you can, do you remember it the same way that I do?
You're testifying when you say, as I remember.
Okay,
you can
I'm
ask
sorry.
Her if she remembers something.
Do you remember when I asked you about compliance?
I'll object.
What your response was to TriW?
Let me object. Maybe it would be quicker if Mr. Duggan would make some offer of proof as to where this line of questioning is going, because I don't know that trying to recollect conversations that occurred back and forth between himself and Ms. Marks are particularly relevant to any of the issues that you're faced with today. So if he could tell us what where he's going, it may be somewhat more helpful.
Okay, well, I can do something here then. Are you aware of Water Code Section 13360A? Ms. Marks?
No, I can't call to mind what it specifically says.
In your own enforcement, there. I'm going to make a statement and end this with a question. In your own enforcement policies, State Water Resource Control Board water quality enforcement policies, it makes a statement in Section 4. With specified exception, California Water Code Section 13360A prohibits the State Water Resource Control Board or the Regional Water Quality Control Board from specifying the design, location, type of construction, or particular matter in which compliance may be had with a particular requirement. Do you know of that code and that specific enforcement policy statement in your enforcement code?
I am familiar with that policy, yes.
How many times have you responded to CDO notification, people who notified by for these CDO hearings, that restarting the Tri-W project would be the quickest way to compliance?
I haven't kept track.
So would it not seem as if you are violating this section of your own enforcement policy and water code by suggesting how they reach compliance requirements?
You know, Mr. Dugan, if I may.
I'll withdraw that question.
Yeah, but I don't see the relevance also to what's before us. I mean, well, I don't know what Mark said with the individual CDO recipients, but that's not
this leads
evidence.
Me to my next question. Then I will go on. There was a statement made earlier that there are many ways to meet the requirements of the CDOs, and I believe it was Matt Thompson here, this person here, and he did not explain what those requirements are. I'm asking him to explain what other options are there other than having to moving out of your house to reach compliance if a wastewater treatment facility does not go online.
Well, you could pump and haul. Pump and haul.
At what frequency?
At whatever frequency is necessary to prevent wastewater from leaving the septic system.
So, according to you, it would be every day, every other day?
No, I'm familiar with pump and haul schemes in places like Alaska where the ground is frozen, and they just have a big tank, and they store it there, and then whenever necessary, they come and have it hauled.
So this is considered an on-site system, which you're talking about, on-site storage?
It's storage and hauling it, yes. Is it on-site? Yeah, it's on-site.
And you are aware there's a regulations governing on-site storage of wastewater other than in your septic tank?
I'm not aware. Perhaps you can point it out for me.
We can do that later. I already asked my questions on environmental justice. I believe that's it. Which one? May I have a second? I believe I was just informed that holding tanks are prohibited. Could you come up with if I was to ask you now, because you made the statement of all the different options, how many options are there other than discharging from your septic tank that you recommend or are allowable?
Well, there's one that I mentioned. I'm sure there are other ways to eliminate a discharge. In some instances, people have proposed what they call evaporative wetlands, which are like a zero discharge, the line thing. And so there's zero discharge. That might be a possibility. It's really up to the discharger to propose that solution.
When, as you know, there are standard sets for in water quality, and specifically in this area of Los Osos, that are set to nitrates. What is the minimum allowed nitrate concentration for drinking water?
Minimum? There is no minimum.
What is the minimum allowed nitrate?
That's right.
There is no minimum.
The minimum allowed nitrate?
Well, what is the standard set at?
The drinking water standard?
Yes.
For nitrate is 10 milligrams per liter as nitrogen. That's a maximum standard.
I'm sorry.
A minimum would be zero.
Right,
I guess.
Correct. According to, since there's been a prohibition on Los Osos, they don't have a maximum. They have zero discharge. Is that correct? Within the prohibition zone.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Could you restate it, please?
If a septic tank and leach field system, an on-site Los Osos system, septic tank system, was tested and it showed that it comes itself, by itself, comes up underneath the standard set, would that be allowed?
Septic system discharges are prohibited despite the concentration of nitrate coming out of the septic tank.
So an individual who has a perfectly functioning septic tank that comes in under the maximum allowable is still in violation of the prohibition zone, correct?
I'm not familiar with any that do that, but yes, they still are in violation of the basin plan prohibition.
Are you familiar with any that do not meet that standard? In other words, have you tested any of these leach fields or beneath these leach fields to find out?
We regulate community septic systems throughout.
No, I'm talking about Los Osos.
The Central Coast region, which are representative of typical septic tanks in Los Osos, and which typically have between 40 and 50 milligrams per liter total nitrogen coming out of the septic tank. That would also be representative of Los Osos.
Yeah, I'm specifically asking about...
I would also like to add to that that we have about 25 regulated septic systems that do monitor.
In Los Osos?
In Los Osos, yes.
You have 25 systems that are being monitored within the prohibition zone?
Correct.
With lysimeters of some sort of some testing to be beneath their leach field?
With lysimeters? No, they're not monitored. The effluent is monitored.
That's the effluent from the septic tank?
What? Correct.
But not from underneath the leach field?
Correct.
And that is where the denitrification takes place? Is that not so?
In a perfect system, yes.
And so in order, would it be more factual than a statement to say that unless the leach fields have been proven to be malfunctioning in Los Osos, that the assumption, let me rephrase that. How many leach fields in Los Osos have you determined to be malfunctioning?
None.
We don't have a number.
Have you tested any of the leach fields in Los Osos?
Well, we monitor several systems, as Ms. Marks suggested, with inspection risers and that sort of thing. So, yeah, we keep an eye on them.
Specifically, have you tested Cynthia Coleman's leach field for nitrates?
No.
You mentioned test wells within the Los Osos area that are ran by the LOCSD. Is that not correct? Monitored by the CSD?
I did mention monitoring wells, yes.
And you are aware in the basin plan, and I don't have the specific area of the basin plan, that it recommends against using water wells, whether or not they're producing or not, private or agency-owned, to not to use drinking water wells as test wells when monitoring water, groundwater quality. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but I also know that only a fraction of the couple dozen monitoring wells the CSD has are water wells. Most of them are dedicated monitoring wells.
But how many?
And even though the basin plan recommends against it, you're still accepting that data?
Yeah.
So if a drinking water well is malfunctioning and perhaps its sleeve has been damaged in some way, that you, which you don't have any way of knowing, that data could... let me rephrase that. Do you know why they recommend against using the drinking water wells as test wells?
Can you specify where in the basin plan it says that and what it says exactly? I'm not familiar with that section.
You're not familiar with that section? I'd have to get it too. Maybe we'll leave that until later.
I'll answer
by your testimony, by his own testimony, he says that he understands that's in there. Is that not true? Didn't you just testify?
I understand that with groundwater monitoring networks that a dedicated monitoring well is preferred. But in this situation, they are using some water supply wells, which does seem appropriate because it is pulling from the same aquifer.
Do you know how many of those are privately owned and CSD owned?
I'm sorry, I do not.
I know at least two that are private wells. Can you contest?
Question, please.
Can you contest to the quality of those wells and whether or not they have been damaged in any way?
The CSD, as I'm sure you're aware, has done extensive evaluation of the integrity of the wells in their monitoring system. And as a result of that evaluation, had abandoned some wells, installed some others, and made some improvements to some others.
But are you aware also that there are private wells being used in this testing?
I don't know.
No.
Specifically, a well, and I don't know the number for it specifically, but the well that is next to the golf course in Los Osos. Are you familiar with that test well?
Not the specifics of it, but I think if you have specific questions about the CSD's groundwater monitoring system, it probably will be helpful for you to direct them to the CSD.
Well, this question is that... are you aware that the water that's coming into the golf course is Title 22 water for their watering?
Excuse me. You know, Mr. Dugan, your cross-examination is getting far afield from really what's before us. I'm going to give you another 4 minutes to try to wrap up your cross-examination.
Yes, I'm going to.
And you are going to have time with Ms. Coleman's individual matter to get into these other areas that really they didn't touch on.
Specifically, he talked about water wells, test wells. So I'm going to that.
Okay, you got another 4 minutes.
Okay.
And then there's other people that also want to do cross-examination.
Are you aware that the water being used to water the lawn at the golf course is Title 22 water?
If by Title 22 you mean recycled water, yes, I'm aware of that.
Do you know what the nitrate level of that water is when it's put onto the grass?
Yes, I do.
Would you tell me, because I'm not allowed to know that because of their... they won't tell me, let's put it that way.
Well, those records are certainly public records. Mm-hmm. They're available here if you would like to see them.
Are they above the standard set for nitrate levels?
Not for that facility, no.
Are they higher than 10 milligrams per liter?
Yes.
You are aware that drinking water well has a test results of 22 milligrams per liter continuously?
I'm not sure what drinking water well you're talking about.
We'll get back to that. Did you state it before, somebody up here stated before, and I just did a specific question, that there has been a continuous and I believe a... the nitrate levels in Los Osos have been continuously rising. Is that not a correct statement on your parts?
Yes.
I believe I said that continued septic system discharge continued to degrade water quality.
And that's specific to nitrate levels, is that not correct?
Yeah, nitrate levels exceed the drinking water standard all over town.
Are you aware of any that do not, test wells that do not show the nitrate levels be exceeding standards?
Yeah, there are a couple of wells that don't.
Are you aware of the ones that are within the vicinity of the most densest part of wells also showing extremely low levels of nitrates?
Yeah, there's one well near the Baywood Commercial District, 7N1. I think it's commonly called the Third Street well. And it's, we believe that it's screened in the lower, in the bottom of the shallow aquifer or even in the deeper aquifer. And it consistently has a nitrate level of about 2.1 milligrams per liter as N.
Do you know of any other wells in that in Los Osos that are around 2.2 milligrams per liter?
Are there any other wells around 2.2?
Yeah, approximately.
Yeah, can I show you a map?
Sure.
You'll have one minute left, Mr. Dugan.
Correct.
This is the Community Services District's ISO contour map of nitrate concentrations in shallow groundwater from October 2005. Hasn't changed much since then. But the well I was referring to earlier is right here, the Third Street well.
Yes.
And then there's this well up here that is on the upgradient edge of the prohibition zone.
Yes.
Which has a nitrate concentration of 0.8 milligrams per liter as nitrogen.
Go right into the middle of the big red portion here. I would believe it's... Excuse me. Right
there. That well?
What is the nitrate level for that well?
Well, the red line is the
10
drinking water standard. Mm. And it looks like the... The recent long-term average is around 8 milligrams per liter. In this case, the most recent result is 3 milligrams per liter.
And I see that it only goes back. That stops at January or sometime in 04.
The latest data is October 2005.
You are aware that other test results have taken place every 6 months at that well?
And I believe that results are taken there semi-annually, yes.
And are you aware that they've been steady at 2.2, 2.5?
Well, according to this chart, the history, the long-term average is more like 7 or 8.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Have you asked cross-examination questions before?
I don't know if you called them questions.
Well, that's what this is, right?
Yeah,
now.
I got a question.
No, I mean, did you participate in cross-examination of
yes.
these witnesses?
Sure.
Okay, you already have.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go through everyone else.
Okay.
And I don't
I
know
just
the,
wanted to, let's
but
remember
I don't,
that map.
Okay, but I don't know that we're going to go and have everyone have double and triple takes at asking questions. So everyone's going to have an opportunity
do it now or do it later.
To go through.
I get a chance later, too.
Mr. Allenby?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right, Chris Allenby, CDO number 19. Now, I just got three fast questions here. Do you have a map or anything that shows where these 25... leach field test sites are monitored? I wasn't aware that we were monitoring leach fields, just wells.
I think I clearly stated that they were not monitoring leach fields. That they were monitoring the discharge from the septic system, the septic tank.
Okay.
They're the regulated sites, and they are not on the map that Matt has available. However, it is public records. If you would like to review them at another time, I don't have them with me.
Okay, that'll be fine. And then if we get to the point of fines, firing squads, whatever, what is the procedure for collecting those fines? Is a lien put on the property, or do you get billed for cash in the mail? Just how does that work?
Well, if the board were to adopt a penalty, you would get you would have a requirement to pay within 30 days. I believe the board does have authority to place a lien on a property for non-payment of a penalty.
Yeah, if you didn't pay that in 30 days, are you jailed or your property taken from you? In other words, at what point do you lose the house?
I'm not aware of a situation that would lead to that.
Okay, so basically you'd be given a bill for a cash payment. Or would it be on your property taxes? Or?
It would be not on your property taxes, separate.
Okay. Well, and the burning question of the hour is, where is Roger Briggs? I think everybody would like to know the answer to that.
Well, he's not here.
But that's a fact.
Yeah. Okay.
We have no means of subpoenaing him, or
he is not available for these proceedings. So it's not timely now to subpoena him for these proceedings.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else wish to ask any cross-examination questions of the prosecution team? Okay. There'll be no one else. I'll allow Mr. Rockte only one follow-up question, and then I do want to move on, sir.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Rockte, Tim. Could you put the map up, Matt, of 8N2 monitoring well, please? That's the one that's closest to my property. And it's wonderful to see that chart.
Oh, I realize this is hard to read. I apologize.
Can you get up the histogram like you had on that other one?
Yeah. Could you help me point it out,
sure,
Tim, please?
Sure. It's right there. You're on it.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah, that one right there. Well,
that one?
I need my glasses.
This is.
Where's Elmore?
I think this is.
Junior high.
It's hard to read.
This is the junior high right here.
No, I think this
I'm sorry. What? That's a school there. And there's a junior high.
Junior high. Look, I think it's that one there.
Such a tiny amount of data.
How did it get fuzzy and before it was clear?
I'll try and adjust the focus here. See.
It's okay that this one's out of focus because it's not the right one.
Okay.
Okay.
Mine's the one I'm just wanting to point out that 8N2.
Yeah.
According to one of the earlier slides he had, showed a 0.8 milligrams per liter. I'm going to be covering that in mind. I just wanted to have a visual in people's minds.
Thank you. This is 8N2, Tim.
Okay, thank you.
Let me switch it.
Does that show to you, as a question, you know, that the rates are pretty darn low over a period of time, well within drinking water standards?
Yeah, that colored line across there, that's the drinking water standard, and the looks like the long-term average is down around 2. But as I've stated in my written submittals, this is up gradient of much of the prohibition zone. You can see immediately down gradient of the prohibition zone boundary, we have some serious degradation of groundwater quality.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Martin.
I have a question, several questions for the prosecution team. I'd like to start off with a comment that Mr. Harvey Packard made, that there were many ways, in other words, to abate some of the discharges. Could you expound on that a little bit more?
You know, Mr. Martin, that typically I'd let Mr. Sato go ahead and object, but that has been asked and answered, and so I think that we're going to move on to some other questions.
Mm-hmm. All right. I have some other questions then.
Go ahead.
Did you say that the CDOs was not intended to stop discharges or lead to fines as long as construction is moving forward?
As drafted, that's true, yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
That is correct.
Thank you. What happens if there is not a certified assessment by June 1st of 2008?
Well, the date in the CDO is actually January 1st, 2008. And the wording is not certified, but approved by the county. If there's not an approved benefits assessment by January 1st, 2008, then the discharger shall cease all discharges from the septic system no later than January 1st, 2011.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you say that this CDO was supposed to support the 2701, Assembly Bill 2701?
I don't believe I said that.
No. What if people install an on-site system after January 1st of 2008?
It's still prohibited by the basin plan. Dischargers are free to ask the board for exemptions or for waste discharge requirements.
What does Section 13300 say regarding workmen to lower the level of enforcement?
I can't recall the exact language of that water code section off the top of my head.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. What we will do now then is proceed with, we have a half hour left. And Mr. Murphy, do you would like to begin your case? We are going to stop right at 4:15.
4:15, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
That's fine. But, before I begin, I note that your order. Good? It's on. It's lit.
Okay. Then just pull it closer to you.
Apologize. I note that your order gave you the option to allow other parties with community-wide issues to raise them during the time, the CSD's 1 hour time frame. It's page 2, footnote 2 of your order setting the schedule. Documentation relevant to all or several properties that may be subject to individual cease and desist orders should be presented at this time. Chair will consider requests by designated parties other than the LOCSD to present general evidence at this time. And in light of the fact that the CSD's presentation, much like the prosecution team's, is abbreviated and will be submitting quite a bit on the papers, I did want to give any designated parties that have general evidence of that kind at least the opportunity to petition you for the chance to present it at this time.
To present their own general evidence?
If they have evidence that they feel is relevant to issues community-wide.
It's faster.
Fine, I think that's what we had in mind. I just hadn't read that footnote.
No problem.
But we probably won't get to that.
Certainly. I would anticipate that we would close today, and if
right.
they needed to cross-examine us today and then the other parties could start in the morning.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Then, as I said, much like the prosecution team, the CSD is planning to, in large part, submit on our written written submissions to you. There are a number of items and arguments in there which we've debated back and forth since at least February, in some cases possibly longer. But we believe that a few key issues are most important for the board to hear and consider today. So in light of that, I'll submit the rest of the issues on the written pleadings. First of all, I think you've heard, particularly from Mr. Thompson, that there is no actual evidence that any designated party is has any working septic system that is polluting the groundwater. The evidence that they have presented to you so far would be competent evidence were you in the process of a hearing dealing with my client or with the county, who are at different times have both been responsible for the status of the groundwater area wide. However, when considering individual dischargers, you need something more. You need actual individual evidence. Particularly, I note case of McCoy versus Board of Retirement, 183 Calap 3rd, 1044, that in administrative proceedings, the party asserting the affirmative of an issue, in this case that violations are occurring, has the burden to prove the charges levied. And in accompanying that, Coombs versus Pierce, 1 Calap 4th, 568, to meet this burden, you have to submit actual evidence supporting the affirmative claims being made. Obviously, the prosecution team need not meet any kind of beyond a reasonable doubt standard like they would in a criminal case, but they have to at least meet a preponderance of evidence standard. Here they have given no evidence. In fact, they've admitted that they have no site-specific evidence for any of the apparently now 10 or so parties remaining today. Instead, they rely on community-wide evidence and believe that that should be enough for you to enforce against individuals. This is somewhat similar to gathering speed data on a freeway and then randomly pulling over cars passing along that freeway and saying that because in general people speed on the freeway, each individual must be speeding. This is a sort of prosecution by implication. There's a presumption of guilt that attaches to that, and I believe, my client believes, that this is not the kind of evidence that can possibly sustain a CDO were one to be issued in this case. In addition, and as has been discussed with the settlements this morning, and to some extent with the CDOs this afternoon, we believe that the safe harbor provision provided by Section A, subsection 1, while it is an excellent alternative, is ultimately not practical. I could, and if you like, will read all of California Constitution Article 13D regarding assessment and property-related fees, but I don't think it's necessary. Most of you know, as well as I do, that when doing a Prop 13 vote, when doing a vote according to Article 13D, you need to have engineering studies prior to the vote. You need to get the vote out. It takes 45 days until you can even hold a hearing. You need to deal with protests, and then you need to certify the vote. The CDO is currently constituted, talks about the county approving a benefits assessment. I'm not quite sure what that means. I don't know if that means that they approve the results of the benefit assessment vote. Don't know if that means that they are certifying those results, or possibly, and this would be best for all of us, I think, that they approve the fact that a vote is going forward. They approve the project that the vote would be held to fund. In any case, what we currently have is a very flexible, non-legal word. In a CDO, that provides that if that flexible non-legal word applies, the citizens subject to the CDO have a great deal of leeway, whereas if that flexible non-legal word does not apply, the citizens have some very hard and fast deadlines that they must meet, deadlines that could prove costly, and deadlines that could at some point affect my client. We believe that should paragraph A2 or paragraph A3 come into play, what we will see is members of the Los Osos community opting out of a future sewage or wastewater system by attempting to put their own systems on their properties. That would do one of two things: either make the community system more expensive for everyone, or in the alternative, make negatively impact the finances of my client. What's most important, though, I believe going forward, is fixing the language of Section A1, either fixing the January 1st, 2008 date to provide something more than, as Mr. Sato said, a one-month, or as Mr. Sato implied, a one-month window for the county to eventually approve a vote that would take place in December of next year, or some sort of legally binding term for the approving a benefits assessment in place of approving a benefits assessment that would give some certainty as to how this will actually be treated. It's been said before, and we just want to repeat for the record that we find it somewhat disconcerting that the individuals are being prosecuted at this point when Assembly Bill 2701 is apparently moving forward. The individuals have very little authority over wastewater at this time. They don't even have the authority at this point to elect local government to handle the problem. The problem is being taken over by the county. In light of that, if you do desire to issue the CDOs, we feel it would be appropriate to hold them in abeyance until after such time as the county has taken over the project and you can review how the county is doing. Again, we feel that no issuance is the best route, but at the very least, holding them off for a period of time to see how the county moves forward is a better bet. Finally, I would like to just simply go over quite briefly a few of the due process issues, some of which have been discussed today, some in brief, some a bit longer, issues that we've raised previously. With regards to the absence of Mr. Briggs today, we understand that people were given the opportunity to question Mr. Briggs. I know that Ms. Okun last spring had several times called Mr. Briggs a unique witness and a necessary witness for this case due to his role in working on issues related to groundwater in Los Osos from the early 1980s through today. At the April hearing, my colleague, Mr. Onstock, called Mr. Briggs, and we were able to begin moving forward with our case because of that. Without Mr. Briggs being here, certainly we're missing out on some pieces of the puzzle. But more importantly, the time that questioning Mr. Briggs did take place on October 4th, we note that that was the day that the prosecution team's documents actually all became available for review by the public. In light of that, the actual questioning of Mr. Briggs that took place had to take place without first an analysis and review of the prosecution team's entire case, making that questioning, well, somewhat valuable, ultimately not enough in light of his unique role in this case. Also, the CDOs as modified were modified on December 1st in what was supposed to be a rebuttal argument from the prosecution. Rather than mere rebuttals, the prosecution team set out a new rationale for the CDO, tying it to AB 2701, and made substantive changes to the CDO. As I asked earlier and then retracted my second question on it, it is uncertain whether, had these hearings been held as scheduled on November 2nd and November 9th, AB 2701 would have taken place or would have been considered at all in the CDOs, which leads me to a sort of general statement regarding the manner in which the prosecution has been conducted, which is at many times throughout this process, the prosecution team has acted in a sort of reactive fashion to new information brought to them by the designated parties in the CSD. Obviously, we're all aware that last spring a change was made in the prosecution team and indeed in the way that the State Water Board is prosecuting in general. And while that change was probably a long time coming, as regards this case, it was made not sua sponte by the prosecution team, but in response to my colleagues' statements at the April hearing. It seems to me that the prosecution team, in their dissemination of evidence, has continuously violated the due process rights of the citizens involved here. As you know, the Administrative Procedures Act in Government Code Section 11425.10 requires simply the notice and opportunity to be heard in this case. However, the case Slattery versus Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board states that the opportunity to be heard must be tailored to the capacities and circumstances of each defendant. Therefore, we believe that the due process rights of individuals in this case, individuals who the prosecution team has known are running their own businesses, some of whom are ill, who have to deal with their families, their due process rights have been trampled on in light of the late dissemination of evidence, in light of communication via email and not directly with the parties, and in light of the manner, as we all know, 4 months ago in which this prosecution was initially begun with the $1,000 a day fine, threats, and other things that we don't need to go into again at this time. Because of those actions, because of the clear deficiencies in the CDO, and because of the lack of evidence with regard to any individual property, it's our contention that if CDOs are issued at this time, they would ultimately be subject to reversal or to vacation. Thank you very much.
Is that your...
That is all.
That's all. Just so I'm clear, can you tell me what, you know, the due process discussion, you talked about, you know, property rights.
Sure.
What is the property right here that, and of course, we're talking about the individuals and not
the individuals.
The
CSD. Absolutely.
What do you see as the property right that's being impacted?
The property right would be the, pardon me, the need to replace the current system with a new alternative system should the January 1st, 08 date not be met.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I guess what we could do is then go to cross-examination.